Well, good morning, everyone. Last Saturday, I came into the office, as I do on most Saturdays, to get some final preparations done for the service. And I was at my computer, and suddenly my wireless mouse just stopped working. I was in a hurry, and I just opened up my laptop and started using the touchpad to get through what I was trying to do. And I've had issues with a mouse before, and where I had to recode it and all that, and I didn't have time for that. Well, when I came back to the office at the beginning of the week, I realized, again, my mouse wasn't working. So I decided I was going to try to do a shortcut. I was going to call our IT son, who works at Liberty University in the IT department, and try to help get him to help me through it. But I was about to pull out my phone and call him, and I realized something. What's the first question Philip's going to ask me? Dad, did you check the batteries? Well, before I called, I checked the batteries, changed it, and guess what? It worked. So I saved myself the embarrassment, except that all of you now know, so shh, okay? I don't think there are very many of us that would say that we don't have to put something into what we do. And to do the work that takes, and to do any work, it takes energy. Whether that job is working for someone else, working for ourselves, looking for work, taking care of the family, taking care of the house and the chores around the house, doing ministry, whatever it is that we do in life, it takes some work. It takes energy. And like anything we set out to do, we try hard not to be off guard in our work. We generally prepare ourselves, don't we? It would be somewhat irresponsible for me to prepare my sermon on my way into church on Sunday morning. However, I have talked to a few priests, and they have actually done that. I can tell you, if I did that, the sermon would be quite short. Some of you might say, try it. But my point is, most things that we do, we ready ourselves. We get prepared for the task that's ahead of us. Every Christmas, we call our children, of course, and our daughter, who lives up in New York, by Christmas. It's really, really cold. And they are preparing, getting ready for February or March to come visit us. And sometimes, almost every year, they tell us that our oldest granddaughter is already packing to come to Florida. But despite all the preparation and readiness that we do in life, sometimes we can take lightly the preparation that Jesus calls us to do. This message today is somewhat bittersweet, but it has a great ending. I don't believe we should pick and choose out of the Bible what we want to hear and discard those things that we don't like hearing at times. We need to hear, listen, and be ready at all times. Today we begin the season of Advent. A part of this season is to remember to prepare ourselves, not just in remembering that Jesus came to us, but also in preparing for his return. Our gospel today actually picks up where we left off a couple of weeks ago. Remember, the disciples had just come out of the temple. They had marveled at the size and the magnificence of the buildings that they were in. Then Jesus begins to warn them about the signs of the times. Nation will rise against nation. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in various places. For some, these are fearful events, but they're great signs from heaven. But before all of this takes place, followers of Christ, we're told, are going to be persecuted. Jesus said, they will deliver you before the synagogues, that is, the rulers. They will take you before those in authority, all on account of Jesus. And that is what happened. They did these things to the apostles. And as I have mentioned, in places around the world, they still do it today. In our reading today, Jesus is talking about more signs. Signs of the sun and the moon and the stars. In other words, there will be signs that are completely out of control of mankind. There will be no question that something is about to happen. There will be a stirring, and Jesus is saying to his body, the body of Christ, we need to be ready because a marvelous event is going to take place. Don't be caught off guard. Some will be rejoicing because they know that the way of the Lord is near. Jesus gave a simple analogy of the fig tree in the picture, and it is a picture if anyone can grasp. By looking at the tree, anyone knows that when spring comes, when the leaves begin to fall and summer is about to take place, or the leaves come out and the figs begin to blossom. Anyone can tell the seasons by just looking around you. Even in a state like ours, we recognize some changes. We know that when the oak tree turns brown, it's in the middle of February and winter just went by. We know that when the oak tree turns green, it's March. But just as we see the seasons change and know that the winter is near, when we see all these things, something will happen. Jesus said, "And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise up your heads because your redemption is drawing near." Now for many, that is a terrifying thought. But what it really means for us is great news. It is terrifying for some because just like my mouse that suddenly stopped without notice, it will be that immediate, that instantaneous. There will be many saying to themselves, "Oh no, it's true. Thousands of years of prophecies that I seem to remember reading about at some point. All those sermons that I actually did listen to, but sloughed off as some theological story that somehow doesn't really affect me, because after all, I'm a nice person." On that day, it will be terrifying for some, and it'll be wonderful for others. Because it will be the day we have been waiting for. The final culmination of all that we have hoped for will take place at that time. Jeremiah reminds us in our reading today of the branch that will rise up and execute justice and righteousness. Another reminder that this is going to happen. Words we need to hear and we need to listen to. But sadly, our attention sometimes is drawn from that, isn't it? We kick off the season with something that we call Black Friday. It's a mad rush for sale after sale. And another hectic season begins, and then there's the panic mode of preparations that we make. Decorations, travel plans, and the list can go on. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking getting ready for Christmas at whatever pace people choose to get ready at. There is excitement in all of this. What is more alarming for me, however, is this. Many of those people are shopping at such a stress-paced level for that perfect deal. They fight the crowds and the traffic and prepare themselves for a day that many of them don't even know why it exists. Yet they refuse to prepare their own heart for something far greater than a deal at Ellerton Outlet Mall. The fact that God the Father would choose to come to us personally to give us this great news. The day that Jesus transcended heaven and came to offer you and I an opportunity to experience salvation that we don't even deserve, to take our sins upon himself. That's what he came for. And one day he will return and evil will be defeated for good. And folks, that is what it's all about. I love the Christmas season. I love the change in the weather, no matter how slight it is in our state. I grew up in this state. I'm a third generation Floridian. I love this place. I love the decorations. I love shopping somewhat for loved ones. I think the surprise aspect is the greatest joy. I love singing new songs. I enjoy the excitement. It's infectious. But if that is all I'm about during these next few weeks, I have certainly missed the greatest joy of all, the love of Christ being active and alive in all of those things. Sometimes I'll just stop and gaze at parts of my past and just marvel at how God has protected me and guided me through this life since I gave my life to Him in 1976. The protection that He provided in one area, the guidance in another area, the temptations that He took me around. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I didn't make mistakes in doing along the way. I made lots of mistakes and I still make mistakes. I've made many. But I look at all of that, and even knowing that I rebel at times, how blessed I am that He has taken me through those times. But there's more. Paul reminds us also to look at what we are lacking. That's what Paul was doing in writing to the church of Thessalonica. Paul was praising them for how far they have come along based on Timothy's report that he had given him. But he also knew that they needed to grow more. He said, I want to come to see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. You see, he didn't want them to get complacent in their walk. He wanted to help them grow more. He didn't want them to be stagnant in their faith. We too need to ask, what's lacking in my life? What is hindering my walk with Christ? What do I need to grow even more in Him? We may ask ourselves, what is it I'm waiting for in my life? Especially during this time of year. You see, this time of year brings up all kinds of questions in the hearts of people. Despite the attempts to totally remove Christ from Christmas, people, for the most part, know there is something more out there. And whether people know God or don't know Him, there is something inside them that wants to know Him. That's the way we are wired as the human race. Even people who have hardened their hearts in the hardest of ways, there is an inherent desire to be complete that only God in Christ can satisfy. And when people hurt, that desire becomes stronger. That is why we always need to be ready. Jesus was always prepared when people approached Him, and we need to be just as prepared as well. And the only way we can be ready is to prepare ourselves, is to know that He is coming back. Jesus was very emphatic when He said, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. We need to know that we are indeed living in the age in which Christ said He will return. We are in that generation that He is talking about, that age. That age is the age between His ascension and His return. We need to know that His truths and arm ourselves with the knowledge that He has given us in His Word. The other thing we need to do is to watch. Watching doesn't mean sitting at the window and looking for His return. Watching means to be alert. Friday marked the end of another hurricane season for us. Back in June, many people prepared themselves. We checked our batteries. We might buy some extra canned food for the pantry to be ready to eat stuff. We monitor the weather a little bit closer during that time of the year. We study about what to do in an emergency. And we do all these things because we just never know when the next direct hit will be. In the last two seasons, our peninsula and our panhandle have experienced tremendous damage from two storms. Watching is making sure that you are ready when it happens. That's why it's so important that we grow in the Lord. That's why we should be careful not to be distracted by things that would pull us away from that preparation. That's why it's so important that we be willing to pray for others. Because the most people, that nudging they are feeling, even though they may not understand it, is a nudging from the Lord. They want to know something out there. They want to know the truth. So when someone sees the Lord in you and they ask, what is it in you that makes you different? Please pray for me. Or you ask them, can I pray for you? I noticed you're hurting. That is not something we take lightly and go on our way. We take time to pray for them. The worst thing we could do is to be complacent about the return of Christ. After all, it has been 2,000 plus years. It took several thousand years of prophecies before he came the first time. Ever since his ascension, the signs have been unfolding. That is clear. Each day is a day closer to his return. God is near in that respect. But as I mentioned last week, God is also already here. We are living in his kingdom. Remember, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He is here with us, guiding us through this life. And he desires to work through us until his coming again. I want to challenge you that during this season of Advent, and always, I always tell everybody that all the seasons are all the time. The seasons just remind us, but they are all the time. And always to be prepared for yourselves, not just in Advent, all year long. Pray regularly. Read his word regularly. Seek God with all of your heart. Be ready for his return. Be ready to be used right here and right now. Be ready to see him move in your life today and see what happens when you do reach out to those around you, when you see those who are hurting, who desperately need something in their life. Be ready. Allow God to anoint you with his life-giving spirit to be used in ways that you never thought possible. And guess what? He will, if you let him. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving spirit that you have given all of us who call on you. So, Father, I ask the anointing of your spirit be on each person here today, that as we walk out of this place, we would start being sure that we are ready, Lord God. And I ask that you would help us be ready. Help us in those areas that we lack. Help us in those areas that we need to be stronger. So that we, when we see those things around us that you are calling us to do, we will be ready and our batteries won't be dead, but you'll be right there with us, Lord God. So, Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for all that you want to do in and through each and every one of us as we call out to you and as we ready ourselves. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.